Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, Episode 103, How to Cross Country Ski.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from OutsideHealthAndFitness.com. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you want to be healthy, active, and have fun outside, then you found the right place. You know, I've been working on a series at Outside Health and Fitness on ways to beat the winter blues. You know, it's really easy to get down during the winter, especially if you end up less active and indoors. Finding fun, healthy activities that get you out of the house, into the fresh air, into the sunshine, can really make the winter a lot more fun, go by more quickly, and keep you from singing the winter blues. So on this week's show, I'm going to talk about my favorite winter activity, and that is cross-country skiing. If you've never skied before, I'm going to show you how easy it is to get started. And if you have skied before, you might even pick up a few tips and tricks along the way. So on today's show, you'll discover the health benefits associated with cross-country skiing, how easy it is to learn and get started, and where to get more information, including where to get lessons, where to ski, you know, what to ski on, and all that stuff.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
I am doing the show live on Google and YouTube again this week. If you want to watch the presentation, just go over to the show notes at outsidehealthandfitness.com/103. Click on the YouTube link and it'll take you right over to my YouTube channel. So you can watch the presentation, watch previous shows, subscribe so you get notification of new shows. All of that stuff takes place right over there on YouTube. Now, at the end of the show, I'd like you to stay tuned because I want to tell you how to get my e-guide, Ski Exercises for Your Best Season Ever, for free. So I put this guide together to outline specific exercises that you can do for skiing to help you build strength, endurance, improve your balance, your flexibility, and more. The guide comes with video tutorials of all the exercises demonstrated by pro skiers, personal trainers, who take you through every movement so that you maximize your workout time. I think you're really going to love this guide, and you're going to see a big difference in your skiing as a result of going through it. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Now, before we jump in, one last thing. On last week's episode, I talked about 5 backcountry trail tips, including how to estimate how much sunlight you have left, how to triangulate your position, even how to build a good campfire. So if you missed that episode, click on last week in the show notes at outsidehealthandfitness.com/103. It'll take you right over there. You can get all caught up and then come back here and learn how to cross-country ski. So let's jump right into this. The first thing that we're going to cover are just some of the different health benefits that you can receive from cross-country skiing. The first one is that it keeps you young and it keeps you really well fit. Now, they did some research at Ball State University in Indiana. And what they did was they assembled 2 groups of octogenarians. So that's a fancy way of saying 2 groups of guys that were 80 years old or more. Now, both of these groups were active and healthy, and they both had the ability to do exercise tests through to exhaustion. And what they did was they compared these 2 groups to see how they were doing. Now, as you can imagine, the group that was cross-country skiers. So these guys are men that were lifelong cross-country skiers. They skied and worked out 4 to 6 times a week. That group turned out to be much fitter than the group that they were healthy and active, but they didn't really do any specific exercise. they were healthier than that group, which was not a big surprise. The big surprise was that the skiers were approximately twice as fit in terms of their muscular fitness and their cardiovascular fitness than that group that didn't do any exercise at all. Now, if that wasn't surprising enough, they also compared the results of that cross-country group to a group of endurance athletes who were in their 80s, and the skiers were about 40% fitter than that group. So it really goes to show the amazing benefits of cross-country skiing in terms of its ability to keep you fit. The next thing is that it is a total body workout. So, you know, running and cycling, that stuff is great. In fact, I do both of those and I love them, but they don't compare to the workout that you get when you cross-country ski, because you're using everything. You're using your arms, your core, your chest, your legs, all of it in order to propel yourself along and move. Remember how popular the Nordic track was a few years ago, and that is because they recognized what a total body workout it is to cross-country ski. On top of that, it is a low impact workout. So unlike running and jogging and even walking, cross-country skiing is low impact. There is no jarring impact on your joints and your knees and your hips and all that. You're sliding along on the snow. So you're getting that same sort of cardiovascular workout and activity without the jarring shock on your joints. So that's another great benefit of cross-country skiing. It burns a tremendous amount of calories, as you can imagine. It burns more calories than running because it's a total body exercise. And if you're interested in skiing, either alpine or cross country, but you're looking to burn calories, know that cross country skiing burns about twice the amount of calories that are burned during alpine skiing. So it's really a superior activity in that regard if you want to burn calories. And the final thing is, it is great for your mood. Like we talked about at the beginning, you know, getting rid of the winter blues, a lot of it comes down to finding something fun to do outside. You get to be out in the fresh air, which is great for you. It's energizing. You're in the sunshine, so your body is generating vitamin D, which is giving you more energy, improving your mood. You're out there with friends, having a great time. It's an awesome way just to improve your overall outlook on things. So those are some of the different health benefits. Let's talk about what you need from an equipment standpoint to get started. So the first thing that you need, which is the most important thing, is boots. I say that they're most important because this is the thing that is in contact with your body. You need to make sure that your boots are comfortable, that they are warm, and that they match the bindings on your skis. Now, don't worry too much about matching the bindings on your skis. There will be ski professionals at the shop where you buy your gear or where you rent your gear that will make sure to match those up for you. And if you're really interested, I did write an article on Outside Health and Fitness, and I'll have a link in the show notes about the different types of boots and binding combinations that you can get. But the thing that I really like you to take away from this is make sure that your boots are comfortable, make sure they're warm. If they are too tight, if they're too loose, if they are cold, you're not going to have a good time. When you have comfortable boots that fit you well, that are warm and keep your feet comfortable, then you're going to have a much more enjoyable time out there cross country. So really spend some extra time selecting the right boots for you. Now, the next thing is binding. So this is what connects your boot to your ski. And there are some different types of bindings that you can choose from. 75 millimeter bindings, these are 3-pin bindings. Now, this is my personal favorite, although these are old school bindings. These are not the kind of bindings that you're going to see if you go to a ski shop and start looking at cross country gear. Now, if you go to a used ski shop, you might see some of these, but for the most part, you're not going to see 75 millimeter. These are 3-pin bindings. They work with a variety of different types of boots. The reason I like them is I like the fact that the pivot point is on the ball of my foot, which is where it feels very natural. And with a 75 millimeter, I've also got good side-to-side control. Additionally, I like the fact that I can find used 75 millimeter gear just about everywhere. So it's pretty easy to find. Now, chances are what you're going to get into is the NNN system, which stands for New Nordic Norm. This is the most popular type of binding for cross-country skiing because it's light, it's flexible, it's perfect for cross-country touring or skating on groomed and moderate terrain. It's a really good binding. Chances are that's what you're going to see in a store, or that's what they're going to set you up with when you do some rentals. Now, the other type is NNN BC. Same sort of thing, only the BC stands for backcountry. This binding is a little stiffer. It's for light or moderate backcountry skiing. It's a very popular choice in that regard. It is a different boot than the NNN also. So an NNN boot does not fit in an NNN BC binding or vice versa. You really have to match those things up. If you are going to go out and do a lot of wild snow right out in the backcountry, out in the woods, then I might recommend an NNN BC. I have a setup like that because I like to go out in the woods and tool around. If I go to a touring center to cross country ski, I don't bring that setup. It's not as flexible, or it's not made for that sort of thing. So chances are, if you're learning and you want to do some stuff at a center, the NNN is the way to go. The other type of binding is an SNS. That's a Salomon binding. Great binding. I've got more information about that. And again, I will put a link in the show notes to an article about all of these bindings, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here because chances are it's going to be the New Nordic Norm that you get into. So the next thing that we want to talk about is ski poles. So now we've got the boots covered, the bindings covered. Let's talk about the ski poles. Ski poles are going to be different depending upon the kind of skiing you're going to do. If you're going to do recreational cross-country skiing, a pole that is about the length of where your armpit is going to be perfect. Backcountry skiing, you want adjustable poles because when you go uphill, you're going to want them to be longer. When you come downhill, you're going to want them to be shorter. So most people that are doing backcountry stuff are going to be using adjustable poles. And then skate skiing, if you get into that, not something I would do right out of the bat as a beginner. I'd learn the classic stride first. But a lot of fun. And if you advance to the point where you want to do that, you're going to get a longer pole, something that comes just under your chin. Okay, so now we get to talk about skis. Finally, we get to talk about skis. So for skis, what you're going to want to look for here is a waxless ski with fish scales on the bottom. Years ago, they used to have, and they still do, they have skis that are very smooth on the bottom. And the way that you get them to work in terms of propelling forward is that you wax them. And you put something called clister right under the boot, which is a very sticky kind of wax, and that grabs the snow and pushes you forward. And then you have very smooth and slippery wax on the front and on the back. Great system, works awesome, but it's a lot of work. So most people prefer a waxless ski where I can literally take my ski, put it on the snow, my boot in it, and I go. There's no waxing, there's no prep, there's nothing like that. I don't have to figure out the temperature and the type of wax to use in that temperature. None of that goes into it. I literally just slap them down on the snow and I go for it. So chances are that's what you're going to want to look for, a waxless ski with fish scales on the bottom. Now, the fish scales let you glide forward, and then when you pull the ski backwards to do your kick, they grab the snow, and that gives you that propulsion forward. Now, you're going to want to look for a ski that's a double camber. What this is, if you think of a bow and arrow, you know, a bow has that bow in it. It's kind of springy. A ski is kind of the same way. If you hold alpine skis together, the bottoms would lie flat together. On a cross-country ski, the bottoms won't lie flat together. And they'll kind of bow out, particularly right where your boot is. And the reason for that is when you kick, you're going to put your weight down and that boot part of the ski is going to touch the ground, and that's going to give you your kick forward. Then when you slide your other ski along, the weight's going to be lifted up, so you're going to be gliding on the fronts and the back. And that's where that camber comes into play. Now, some skis have edges, some have no edges. Most of the cross-country gear that you're going to get into is not going to have edges, no metal edges involved. If you get into the backcountry stuff, you might have some metal edges on your skis. For most of the cross-country touring that you're going to do, you're not going to need that at all. Edges are good if you need to carve some turns or if you're going to be on snow that is crusty and icy. Edges are good. Otherwise, for cross-country, you don't need it. Again, when you go to a store or you go to a ski rental place, there's going to be a professional there that's going to set you up with the perfect package. I didn't mean to really bog you down with the gear stuff, but I just wanted to give you a general overview of what cross-country gear looks like. The final thing you need is a good attitude. Like anything that you learn, you're going to need a good attitude about it. You will fall down. You will feel uncomfortable because you're doing something new. Everybody does. It's okay. Have fun with it. The other thing that's going to happen is you are going to pick this up fast. You'll be surprised how quickly you can pick up cross-country skiing, and you are going to have a great time. It is so much fun to do that you're going to be glad that you gave it a try. So have a good attitude about it. Now, here's the other thing that's nice about cross-country skiing is that you already know how to do this movement. It's a very natural thing. It's just like walking. When you step forward with your left foot, your right arm naturally swings forward. When you step forward with your right foot, your left arm naturally swings forward. And that's exactly how cross-country skiing works. In fact, a great way to practice and get your timing down is just to grab your poles and walk around like that. And just get into that habit of swinging your arms with your poles and planting your poles and walking around. It gives you the timing. Now, the next thing is up and down. There's a lot of up and down in cross-country skiing. Now, it's not exaggerated, but remember we talked about that camber. When you push your weight down on your front ski, so let's say your left ski is forward, and your foot is flat on the ground, you're going to kind of sink a little bit of weight down there. And then as you go to transition, you're going to pick your heel up on that left foot and kind of come up on your toes and maybe raise up a little bit and then sink down on your right side. And you can practice that walking around as well. That's how cross-country skiing works. You're putting pressure down when you kick and you're taking pressure off when you glide, and you're just transferring your weight from your left foot to your right foot, to your left foot, to your right foot, to your left foot. And that makes you go pretty easy. So you already know how to do all those things. Now it's just a matter of doing it on skis. Now, practice on one ski is a great way to kind of practice your glide. So you clip into your right foot, you have your poles, and with your left foot, not in a ski, you just kind of push, and then you glide along on your right ski, and you keep doing that. Do that a few times so that feels pretty comfortable. And then switch, do the same thing with a left ski. So click into your left ski, take your right ski off, and then just kick with your right foot and glide with your left foot. It's a good way just to kind of walk around and get a feel for that gliding. So now you know how to move forward. The next thing is, how do you stop? Well, there's some easy ways to stop. First of all, you can just glide to a stop. Most of the time, you're going to be on flat ground anyway. So unless you need to stop really fast, you can just stop kicking and you can just stand there and glide, and you'll glide right to a stop. You can also do something called a snow plow. If you look at that picture of me right there, I'm in a snow plow stance coming down that hill. And that is just kind of pushing your skis off to the side, and that slows you down and gives you a little resistance. The other thing you can do is use your poles. And I'm doing that in this video too, is I'm dragging my poles behind me. I've got them kind of up into my shoulder blades, and I've got them down between my legs and just kind of dragging them behind me to slow me down again. So if you want to stop pretty quickly, that's a good way to do it. Or if you're coming down a hill that's kind of icy or crusty. The other thing is you can sit down. Cross-country skis are great because your heels are free. So if you really need to stop quick or you're a little nervous about something that's coming up, you can literally just sit down and that will stop you. So let's take a look at, this is me just coming down kind of an icy, crusty hill using the snow plow and my poles. So there's the snow plow. I got my poles in between and I'm just dragging them, and I come right down that little icy hill and glide to a stop. Not a problem. So now let's talk how to turn. So there's a couple of different ways to turn. The first thing is called a kick turn. This is if you need to go in completely the opposite direction, 180 degrees, you can do a kick turn, which is really just picking one ski up, facing it in that direction that you want to go, and then letting the other one follow behind. In this video, I'll show you how to do that. Another way to turn, if you're moving, is a step turn. So if I want to go to the left, I can just pick up my left ski and move it a little bit to the left, and then pick up my right ski and move it a little to the left, and just kind of keep stepping to the side like that, and that will help me step around a corner. Same thing on the other side, step to the right. The snow plow, which we looked at a second ago, is another way to turn. So if you're in a snow plow and I push on my right ski, I will go to the left. If I push on my left ski, I will go to the right. And that's another way to turn. The final way to turn is a telemark turn. Now, this is a little bit more advanced. I wouldn't worry about this as a beginner, but you can sink down into, if you freeze a kick and glide where you've got one ski forward, one ski back, your heel is up, and you kind of sink down, that's a telemark stance. And by leaning on your skis, you can go either to the right or to the left. Again, don't worry about that. You're not even going to need that turn as a beginner. Most of the time, you're going to be in a track that turns for you anyway. Just wanted you to know that it was available. Let's take a look at the kick turn here. You see, I got my poles behind me. I move one leg the way I want, and the other one just follows. Let's do it the other way. So I get the ski heading in the direction I want, and then the other one follows. It's really that easy. I even taught my six-year-old how to do that. So it's a pretty easy turn, and it's a nice one to know because sometimes you're going to want to head back in the other direction. All right, so now let's talk about going downhill. So there's a couple of different techniques here. One is pull an 11. That is, just stand there with your skis in the shape of the number 11 and glide down the hill. Most of the hills that you're going to come in contact with cross-country skiing are going to be pretty short, and they're going to flatten out at the bottom. So just standing there, gliding to the bottom, is often the best way to get down. Now, another way is a snowplow. We already looked at that. Or you can do a snowplow and use your poles, and we looked at that too. We talked about the telemark, and here it is here. You can see that I've got one ski back a little bit, one ski out in front. I'm scooched down with my weight in the middle, and I'm going to glide right down the hill here in a telemark stance. This is a really good stable front and back stance. And there I switched to another one and made a little bit of turn at the end. So that's a great way to come down a hill as well. Again, not something that you're really going to need as a beginner, but I want you to know that it was available. So now we know how to come down a hill. Let's talk about going up a hill. So there's four different techniques for this. The first one is you can kick and glide just like you do on flat ground, and you'll go right up the hill because of your fish scales, particularly if it's not too steep. If it's pretty steep, another thing you can do is you can jog. So you literally are picking your skis up just like as if you were jogging, and you're just going left, right, left, right, left, right, right up the hill. No gliding. If it's a little steeper than that, then you can do something called a herringbone, which is almost like the reverse of a snowplow. And I'm going to show you in this video how that looks, but you kind of duck walk right up the hill with your poles behind you for support. And then if a hill is really steep, you can sidestep. And I'm going to show you that here too, which is just you're putting yourself sideways to the hill, picking up your left ski, and then following the right ski, left ski, right ski. It's a pretty slow way to go up the hill, but in steep conditions, it's really the best way to go. So let's take a look at this. So here I am sidestepping up the hill, left and then the right, the left and the right. That works pretty good. And then if you want to do the herringbone, you literally turn your skis out, get your poles behind you, and you just kind of duck walk right to the top of the hill like that. It's a little faster way to get up. And here's that telemark coming down again. So again, you sink down into a stance with your poles out in front of you. You can switch feet, make a little turn. That's it. You're coming down the hill. So the next question is where to do it. Well, there's a lot of different options. When you start out, what I would recommend is go to a ski center near you. And I'm going to have a link in the show notes to a site called xcski.org. And these guys have a great database where you can type in your area and you can find Nordic ski centers near you. What I would recommend is wait for a nice winter day where it's kind of warm, the sun is out, it's blue sky, the snow is soft, and then head off to a ski center, get some rentals, get a lesson if you can, and go do it. And the reason I'm talking about all of those conditions is make it as pleasurable for yourself as possible the first time. You're going to be more apt to like it and want to go back and do it again. If you try to do it on a cloudy, overcast, freezing rain, you know, 20 degrees below zero day, you're not going to want to do it again because it's going to be miserable. Pick a really nice day, a really nice ski center, get some good equipment, take a lesson or two, and go try it. You're going to be amazed at how much fun you have and how easy it is. So that's one place where you can do this. You can also do cross-country skiing on snowmobile trails. This picture here in the presentation is a snowmobile trail that's near my house where we ski quite frequently. And the snowmobiles pack the trail down for you pretty nicely. A lot of these trails go on for miles and miles and miles and miles. It's free and it's a lot of fun just to get out there. The other thing is wild snow. You can just go out in the woods and make your own trail, explore around. That is a lot of fun to do. Maybe not the thing I would recommend doing initially when you first start. I would start right on a groomed trail where it's just as easy as pie. But I would recommend doing some wild snow and checking that out because it is a lot of fun to get out there and explore and see things that otherwise you might not have had a chance to see. Finally, if you want more information, I'm going to have a lot of information in the show notes over at outsidehealthandfitness.com/103. I also have a Nordic skiing resource page at Outside Health and Fitness. It has a lot of other resources for you to check out. And you can also check out a download of this presentation if you want over at the show notes as well. Hopefully you found that to be valuable and you got some good information there. I know it was a lot of information and I went through it pretty quickly, but it is a fun activity that has a lot of health benefits. It really is easy to learn and there are so many great centers and resources available that you should be able to find something in your area where you can get the support you need to pick this up and give it a try. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's one of my favorite winter activities, and it's a great thing to help you beat the winter blues. I want to thank you again for listening to the show and being part of the Outside Health and Fitness community. If you're getting value from the show and you'd like to help me bring you more shows like this, you absolutely can. And here are three easy options if you want to help me and lend a hand. One is you can leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever podcast app you use to listen to the show. The more reviews we have, the higher we rank in search engine results. Just give me a click, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever your review is. Or if you have constructive criticism, if you think I should be doing this because that would be more helpful for you, that would be great. I'd love to hear from you because I really want the show to be something that is of value to you that you get as much from as possible. So leaving those reviews would be a great way to lend a hand and help out. Another thing that you can do is just tell a friend. If you have a friend that you think would like the show and get something from this, let them know about it. That's a great way to spread the word. And the other thing that you can do is visit the show notes. And I've got a little button there called support. If you click on that button, you can pledge as little as $1 per episode. And even though that may not sound like a lot, that helps so much because there really are expenses that go along with putting a show out like this every week. There's media hosting and web hosting and other things that take some finances in order to make the show go. Any sort of support that you can give the show is greatly appreciated. I really do thank you for that. Oh, and I want to remind you about how to get that free ski exercise guide. When you sign up for our weekly newsletter, which is also free, you get exclusive Outside Health and Fitness articles, resources, and the ski exercise guide. I really think if you go through that guide, you're going to find that it helps your skiing and that you have much more flexibility and balance and the things that you need to really enjoy the sport. Everything that I was talking about is at outsidehealthandfitness.com/103. Thank you again for checking out the show. I really do appreciate it. And I will see you outside. Outside Health and Fitness is a proud member of the Best Life Network, bringing you shows that help you stay healthy, happy, active, and strong.